I'm reading the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. Thou, therefore, my child, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And the things thou hast heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men, such as shall be competent to instruct others also. Take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one going as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. And if any one contend in the games, he is not crowned unless he contend lawfully. The husbandman must labour before partaking of the fruit. Just have an impression from this passage as to these three spheres that Paul highlights: the military sphere, the athletic sphere, and the agricultural sphere, and their application to us in the Christian pathway. It's interesting that Paul addresses Timothy here. We know that the epistle to Timothy is written for the last days, and we are living in the last days. Without doubt, says that in the last days difficult times shall be there. Says that in the next chapter. These are the days that we're in. And it's very fine to think of how the scriptures are written for us today. And they apply to us today. So he begins this section to Timothy: be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. It's interesting he should highlight this feature of grace. And such days as we're living in, how necessary it is to have this feature of grace. Can't help feeling that, you know, if this feature had been more evident amongst the people of God, and particularly those that we have contact with over many years, perhaps many of the disasters in the testimony may well have been averted. The need of grace. And so Paul begins this section to Timothy: be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Where is that grace seen superbly? It's seen in Jesus. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. So it's a good exercise for us, I think, to be concerned that this feature should be evident with us personally and amongst us as a company. So he goes on here, he speaks about the things that was heard of me. He's entrusted to faithful men. He's concerned that the truth should be maintained and passed on. Something else that is very much a concern for the present day. We see older ones passing off the scene. There's a need for continuance, and things need to be passed on. And that's the exercise that Paul has to Timothy here. But then he has this word for him: take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's interesting how he takes up this sphere, the military sphere. Begins, take thy share in suffering. He links it to suffering. And I think that's very interesting for us considering the present day. As we've said, we're living in the last days. And if we're left here, I believe that things are going to become very difficult for believers in the Lord Jesus. Many parts of the world, we know that's already true. There's many that are suffering grievously for their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. I believe that even in these lands where we've been preserved from much suffering in that way, I believe that things are going to become difficult. And we need to garrison our hearts to be aware of what is ahead. And that we may then be prepared for what may be a pathway of suffering. He says, take thy share in suffering. It's interesting, you know, we might think, well, we'll hide ourselves amongst the ranks. Well, you know, if we believe in the Lord Jesus, we've all been enlisted. And if I might use the terminology, the Lord Jesus is a commanding officer. If we've been enlisted, then we are there as to serve our commanding officer. And that means, you know, that the Lord Jesus has control over us. One of the features that marks a soldier is that he has to be obedient. He has to follow orders. What a feature then that should mark us in the present day is to get our commands from the Lord Jesus, the one who has control over our lives. We have enlisted. We belong to him. And he has control. We need to yield ourselves. Be prepared to take our share in suffering as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. So he goes on, you know, to no one going as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of life. So not only is there the side of suffering, you know, there's the side of being free from all encumbrances, that we might be able to serve rightly and to fight rightly. Interesting then, the soldier, isn't he? There's two spheres that mark the soldier's operations. There's the offensive and the defensive. If you look in Ephesians, we know we've got the panoply of God. We're well provided for. You know, everything we need for this battle that we have to face. And we need to recognise, I believe, that we are in a battle. The enemy is very active today. And you know, we need to put on the whole armour of God. We have the sword of the Spirit, God's word. What a weapon that is, rightly used. And you know, the Lord Jesus was the one who used it when tempted of the enemy. He took up the scriptures to answer his temptations. We need to be able to use the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith, you know, to quench the darts of the wicked one. These are things that are available to us as believers so that we might be operative both in the offensive and the defensive sphere. We might go out, you know, powerfully with the gospel. Or we might be able to stand firmly for the truth as it is in Christ. So then he moves on to the athlete. He says, if also anyone contend in the games, he is not crowned unless he contend lawfully. I'm often interested, you know, reading of these athletes that are going in for the games, how absolutely committed they are. You know, they get up early in the morning and they train and train and train and give their whole lives, you know, so that they might be able to compete and to seek to win the prize in their race. Well, you know, that has an application for us as believers. You know, we need to have that single eye, that determination, that endurance, that commitment to the Lord Jesus, you know. These persons, they're wholly committed to their end. And we need to be the same. We need to have an eye that is fixed on the Lord Jesus. Paul speaks about that in Hebrews, doesn't he? He says, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us. How easily we get weighed down with the things of this world and the things of this life. And we need to be able to lay those things aside to have our eye fixed on the goal, which is the Lord Jesus. Now, we'd be helped in this sphere, you know. It says that he is not crowned unless he contend lawfully. I don't know quite what Paul may have had in mind in relation to that, but I'd just like to give it this application that, you know, we don't get anything in Christianity by taking shortcuts. There's no shortcut to spiritual prosperity and to spiritual blessing. You know, we need to commit ourselves and we need to apply ourselves. Just like an athlete applies himself, we need to apply ourselves that we might gain, spiritually, and that we might grow, and that we might prosper. These things don't come any other way but by committing ourselves to them. Nothing in Christianity comes without exercise. And so he goes on then to the husbandman. He must labour before partaking of the fruits. Well, it speaks to me, you know, of endurance and patience, perseverance. Think of the farmer, you know, he has to prepare the land and then to plant his seed, care for the crops, and it might be months and months before the fruit is evident and before he can bring in the harvest. It requires patience and endurance, you know. And these are features that need to mark us too in the present day. Think of the Lord speaking of persevering in prayer. What a matter that is, you know. We need to persevere in prayer. Think of what it is to pray constantly or time after time for something that we might have on our hearts. How often you've heard of persons being prayed for year by year. Often a wayward son has been prayed for by his mother, you know, for year upon year until finally, you know, the answer is given. You know, what power there is in prayer. But it takes perseverance. It takes endurance. You know, you might be active in the gospel. Think of going out and giving out tracts. You might think there's never any fruit. Well, we need to persevere in these things. And the Lord, you know, will bring the fruit in his due time. Mm. So he says, the husband must labour before partaking of the fruits. Mm. Must labour. It involves work. Mm. You know, laziness is a sin.
Amen.
And especially in relation to spiritual things. And so we need to be prepared to put our backs to the plough and to be prepared to work for the prosperity and the blessing of our souls and for the blessing of God's people. Mm-hmm. Interesting, you know, think of the husbandman. There's the arable side, isn't there? The planting and the growing of food. And that's something we need to be concerned about, that we might partake of food for ourselves and that food might be provided for God's people.
Amen.
And then there's the animal husbandry side. We need to be thinking, you know, of taking care of God's people. These features are very necessary in the present day. And so I was just interested in how Paul brings in these three spheres and brings them together. Every one of them, you know, speaks of activity. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the military sphere, whether it's the athletic sphere, or the agricultural sphere, all of them require activity. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a great need for activity in the present day. You've been reminded before that Paul on his conversion said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Mm. And we need each to be concerned, I believe, to be in activity in relation to the things of the Lord, the one who has enlisted us. May we be helped then to commit ourselves to him and to be active in his service. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.